From the Gospel of John. It follows on the story with which we are familiar of the feeding of the 5,000 with loaves and fishes. Jesus has left that place and gone to somewhere else, but the people have followed him there. So we hear from John. When they, the people, found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He who gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." May God help us to understand and take to heart this word from our holy scriptures this morning. So this week I made bread twice. I haven't made bread in a long, long, long time. You know, the old-fashioned way, where you get the flour and the yeast and the warm water and a little bit of sugar and a little bit of salt, and you put it all together, and then you knead it, and you knead it, and you knead it, and then you let it rise for an hour and a half, and then you knead it again and again and put it. It takes an awful long time. It's very exhausting to make bread the old-fashioned way. But it wasn't from scratch, as we like to say, when we start with the basic ingredients. For I was reminded by somebody I read this week that it says, if you want to make bread from scratch, you're going to have to create the world. It made me chuckle, but it's true. We can't make wheat or sun or salt or water or sugar or anything like that. We can only take the things that God has given us to make the things that we enjoy. We take so much for granted in our world. I've asked this question before, I know, but I'm going to ask it again. How much does bread cost? The answer, of course, is nothing. Bread doesn't cost anything. We don't make the wheat or the water, as I just said. We only pay for the labor that goes into transforming raw materials into something we can use. The materials themselves are free. They are God's, and they are God's gift to us. Our task is just to use enough of the materials that God gives to help us live, and then leave enough so that others will have enough. It's sometimes a challenging task for people who always want more than they have. Back to bread for a moment, though. Bread's a simple staple. Chances are that sometime over this weekend, we will have bread at some time, whether it's stuffing or homemade bread or buns or something like that. Even people who don't eat gluten will somehow get some kind of bread. Right, Heather? Yep. That's how important it is to us. I started thinking this week as I was making the bread, would it be enough? If we all we had for Thanksgiving was bread, would it be enough? With perhaps maybe a little homemade bread or jam to put on it, the bonus, would that be enough? Fruits of this year's harvest. Would it remind us when we were eating the simple things, to sit around the table and give thanks for those simple things that give our lives meaning. Would we savor, truly savor, the taste of homemade bread and jam and give thanks? And if we shared that meal with someone we loved, could we give thanks for enough food and enough love? Would it be enough? And then, if we had a place to live that was comfortable, warm, and cozy, would that be enough? Perhaps we need a job that provides just enough, nothing too extravagant. Or for those who are not working, if we had enough money to last, or pension or savings to supply the simple basics for the next while, would that be enough? Do we have enough? Is bread enough? Would we give thanks and celebrate Thanksgiving if all we ate was bread? Yesterday, with my homemade bread, I had a grilled cheese sandwich, and I asked Judy, who was there, would this be enough for Thanksgiving dinner for you? And we both agreed it would. It was enough. There are many happiness studies out now that state that the happiest people in the world are those who are able to give thanks for exactly what they have, and they don't feel the need for more. The richest people in the world are those who are truly content with what they already have, whether they have much or little. These are the people who are so full of what they do have that they don't feel deprived or that they lack anything just because they don't have what others have. They have all they need. It's not happy people who are thankful. It's thankful people who are happy. Is there a point in our lives where we will stop and take stock of what we have and say that it truly is enough? Where we can stop acquiring, seeking, stockpiling, and taking in all the experiences we can, or even status, to realize that where we are right now, what we have is enough, or even perhaps more than enough. Because it's here, when we realize and are thankful for what we have, that we will be at content and at peace. Jesus said as much when people asked him for more. Jesus had been traveling with his disciples, teaching and healing and proclaiming the kingdom of God as clearly as he could. He had been telling people that the kingdom of God really was about caring for each other, doing justice, seeking something that went beyond the material world.
He had told them to lay up treasures
that did not rust or rot or decay. Spiritual treasures. He was trying to get people to a place where they could see that material things could not satisfy, and to realize that when we were caring for each other, seeking enough for all and less for ourselves, then we were truly living out the kingdom of God. Not that Jesus didn't realize that we needed physical things to live. He fed people. Bread. Not too much, just enough. Enough so that there were leftovers for others. But the people got greedy. They followed him looking for more bread. And when they came looking for more bread, food that would feed the body, he told them to stop looking for more bread and to look beyond the physical to the spiritual. He told them that he would provide bread that was eternal, bread that would not spoil. Bread that would continue to feed them forever so they wouldn't go hungry or thirsty anymore. So they asked for this bread, and he said, I'm it. I'm the bread of life. See, the Christ life, the essence of God that is love and light and life, speaks from deep within each one of us, calling us to a new way of being in the world. Following the way of Christ means that we're not seeking those things that tie us to the world, the things that someday will pass away. The abundance that Christ offers is ours when we live simply and give thanks for what we have, not dwell on what we don't have or seek more than what we need. It's Thanksgiving. A time when we're to stop and take stock of our blessings and give thanks. Even more than that, I think it's a time when we need to ponder all that we do have, both material and immaterial, and ask yourself whether it is enough. I asked the Bible study group this week to think about this. If you were to go through all the things in your life, all the material things and the immaterial things, and you had to give thanks for every individual one, how long would it take you? I look at the books on my shelf and go, that would be crazy. Some of us have a lot. Others don't have enough. And I am not naive or heartless enough to say that we should give thanks for all things. Many here and in our families and communities have had a rough year. Almost all of the memorial services I have done this year are for people who are younger than I am, some significantly younger. There are parents who are grieving in our community. Others in our community have found it hard to make ends meet and are struggling to find the resources to keep up. It's hard to feel grateful when we're stressed and worried. Suffering, our own and others, can make it hard to feel grateful. And I get that. The world is not as we would have it, and I won't attempt to explain why some have it so much better than others. God's blessings are complicated. And I won't pretend that we don't feel guilty at times we have or spend or even waste. Yet perhaps in the end, the antidote to this is gratitude. To truly acknowledge when we are blessed and to seek ways to share the blessings we have received with others. To stop when we have enough and give so others may have enough. This is the kingdom of God in action. Are we willing to live simply so that others may simply live? So I go back to my original question. If all we had of giving was bread, would it be enough? I hope so. I hope we could stop and ponder how much we have. So today, we are going to have a Thanksgiving meal together. Many people have provided homemade bread for our service today. And I'm going to invite us all to come to one of the stations along the frontier and pick up a slice of bread